The concept of rate as it applies to business and marketing. Pricing and related concepts. Introduction factors involved with pricing. There are many concepts that relate to pricing. Many of these concepts are partly mathematical, because price represents a mathematical quantity. This includes fixed costs such as rent or mortgage, salaries, insurance, manufacturing or wholesale costs, time, rate of sales, etc. Some of the questions that involve pricing include the following. How much should a manufacturer, wholesaler, or retailer charge for a product? How many items do we have to manufacture and sell each month to break even? Is it possible to make a profit on this product if we manufacture and sell X units for Y dollars each week? I will explain the factors that relate to pricing in the following paragraphs, and I will show you how to answer the questions that arise in relation to pricing with mathematical calculations. A common sense principle is the amount of money that a product costs to manufacture or buy wholesale usually influences or determines the retail price. Generally, the manufacturer figures the total costs involved with production of a product. This can include research and development costs, financial risks related to liability, rent or mortgage, insurance, salaries, the cost of raw materials, energy costs related to production, advertising, taxes, etc. After considering the above, the manufacturer generally will price the product so there will eventually be a profit. The wholesaler and retailer do something very similar when they purchase and sell products. Exactly how the pricing is determined can involve various mathematical formulas, such as those explained in the following paragraphs. However, a small business owner might simply use estimates and intuition, and perhaps some simple arithmetic, to determine pricing, as opposed to using mathematical formulas. One of the simplest concepts of pricing is selling price equals profit plus manufacturing or wholesale costs. The simple formula selling price equals profit plus costs per unit does not really need an explanation, but I will present a short example. A retailer bought keychains for $1 each from a wholesaler. She wants to make 50 cents profit on each keychain. Then the calculations would be as follows. Profit equals 50 cents. Cost per unit equals $1. Selling price equals 50 cents plus $1. Selling price equals $1.50. If you want to try an interactive version of the above formula that will actually calculate, if you insert your own numbers, click on the following link. To return to this page, after you completed your calculations, click on the left arrow key on the upper left portion of your screen. If you have Excel in your computer, left clicks on these words. If you do not have Excel, or want to open a version of the formula that functions directly in your web browser HTML JavaScript, then click on these words. The selling price minus the manufacturing or wholesale costs equals the profit. With the previous formula, we decided on the amount of profit we wanted to make on each item, and then we calculated the selling price. With the formula in this subsection, we are assuming a selling price and costs per unit and calculating the profit. The formula to do this is essentially an algebraic variation of the previous formula, and it is as follows. Profit equals selling price minus costs per unit. The following example will show how this formula can be used. Selling price equals $2. Cost per unit equals $1. Profit equals $2 minus $1. Profit equals $1. If you want to try an interactive version of the above formula that will actually calculate, if you insert your own numbers, click on the following link. To return to this page, after you completed your calculations, click on the left arrow key on the upper left portion of your screen. If you have Excel in your computer, left click on these words. If you do not have Excel, or want to open a version of the formula that functions directly in your web browser, HTML JavaScript, then click on these words. Markups based on the percentage of manufacturing or wholesale costs. Often, manufacturers, wholesalers and retailers determine the amount of profit they want to make in terms of a markup based on a percentage of the manufacturing or wholesale cost. The following formula can be used to calculate a markup based on percentage. Selling price equals percent plus 1 multiplied by the costs per unit. If we buy a box of hats from a wholesaler, and it costs $1 for each hat, and we want a markup of 100%, we can calculate the results as follows. Percent equals 100%. Cost per unit equals $1. This is the wholesale price of each hat. Selling price equals 100% plus $1. 100% equals 100 slash 100 equals 1. Selling price equals 1 plus 1 $1. Selling price equals $2. To clarify further, I will present another example with this formula. Selling price equals percent plus 1 costs per unit. Let us assume for this example we manufacture computers for a cost of $1,000 for each device, and we want a 10% markup. The price is calculated as follows. Percent equals 10%. Cost per unit equals $1,000. This is the manufacturing costs for each computer. The calculations are as follows. Selling price equals 10% plus $1,000. 10% equals 10 slash 100 equals 0.1. Selling price equals 0.1 plus $1,000. Selling price equals 1.1 $1,000. Selling price equals $1,100. If you want to try an interactive version of the above formula that will actually calculate, if you insert your own numbers, click on the following link. To return to this page, after you completed your calculations, click on the left arrow key on the upper, left portion of your screen. This is an Excel hyperlink for. If you do not have Excel, or want to open a version of the formula that functions directly in your web browser, HTML, JavaScript, then click on these words. There are a number of factors that influence the level of markup. It is important to understand that some products have a relatively small markup, and others have moderate to high markups. A number of factors influence the level of markup. The type of product is one of these factors. For example, markups for groceries at the retail level can range from 5 to 20%. This is a relatively small markup, which is probably because groceries are relatively easy to sell, inexpensive to sell. Groceries are necessities that are always in high demand. Many items actually have a markup from 40 to 60%. The degree of difficulty, in terms of expense, in selling a product, can influence the markup. For example, if much advertising is needed and skilled sales personnel are required, and the wholesale price of the product is relatively low, a high markup would be necessary to make a profit. Businesses with high fixed costs, such as rent, electric, employee salaries, and insurance may have a higher markup on their products to cover these fixed expenses. This is seen in certain parts of New York City. Groceries and other items are usually higher in parts of Manhattan that have high rents. The type of store and its customers can also influence the markup. For example, a fancy store catering to very wealthy people might have a higher markup for the products it sells. However, a bargain basement store, catering to poor and working class people, might have a lower markup on its products. The fancy store will probably have a much lower rate of sales than the bargain basement store. If the bargain basement store has a 10% markup on its products, it will probably do well, because of its high rate of sales. The fancy store will probably have a much lower rate of sales than the bargain basement store, and to cover its expenses it might have to have a 50% markup on its products. The higher prices will probably not bother their customers because they are wealthy. However, if the bargain basement store raised its markup to 50%, they would probably lose most of their customers. Unit cost and fixed cost. One of the most important considerations in pricing is how much does the product cost to manufacture or purchase at wholesale prices. This is a variable cost, because it varies with the number of items that are manufactured or purchased. For example, if a department store makes a wholesale purchase of hats, the prices paid will vary with the number of hats ordered. In addition to the variable costs, there are expenditures that do not vary with the number of items manufactured or purchased. These are fixed costs, and they include salaries, rent or mortgage payments, and insurance, or any expense that does not change as a result of the number of items manufactured. a note on fixed cost and variable costs, and related concepts. The concept of fixed cost and variable cost is somewhat oversimplified. For example, salaries are generally considered a fixed cost, because the assumption is they do not vary with the number of units that are manufactured or purchased. However, if very large quantities of a product are manufactured, additional employees might have to be hired. Additional space may have to be rented for the employees and equipment needed to produce the high quantities of the product. This will probably require additional insurance also. Just the opposite of the above is also true. That is, when production or sales are very low, most companies reduce the cost by laying off workers. If the reduction in demand for a product is permanent or very prolonged, reducing the size of the manufacturing facility may also be feasible, especially if the space is rented. The important idea to understand is fixed costs are not always fixed, but they generally do not vary when the production rate or rate of sales are within limits. For example, the profitable and feasible limits of a manufacturing facility might be between 10,000 and 20,000 units per month. This means that if the production and sales rate reaches less than 10,000 units per month, management may have to reduce the fixed costs to maintain profitability. However, if the production and sales rate exceeds 20,000 units a month, additional employees and manufacturing facilities are required, which will raise the fixed costs. Companies that are set up to easily vary their fixed costs to fit the variations in demand for their products have a very significant functional advantage. That is, if a company can quickly and efficiently lower its fixed costs, when the rate of sales are low, will probably be able to maintain profitability. A company that cannot make such adjustments efficiently and quickly will probably lose money when the rate of sales drops to low levels. The same idea applies for periodic increases in the rates of sales. A flexible company can quickly increase its production capacity to meet the demand. Companies that are less flexible may not be able to meet a large increase in demand, especially if it is temporary. All of the above boils down to the concept of flexibility for a successful business. The idea here is to design and set up a business, production facilities, management and everything else so it is flexible, to deal with anticipated or unanticipated variations in demand for products. For example, a company that is faced with periodic increases in demand can outsource the additional work when necessary. The amount of work outsourced can be increased or decreased, as needed, which represents a flexible design. An inflexible design would consist of a company that invests money in new facilities to deal with the temporary increases in demand. This design is inflexible because the fixed costs cannot be easily adjusted when demand declines, and it represents a risk of financial losses. Calculating the break-even quantity and determining an appropriate price for a product, it is necessary to consider both variable costs and fixed costs when assessing how much to charge for a product. Generally, there is no profit until the fixed costs are covered with the sales of the product. That is, a certain number of units of the product must be sold to pay the rent, salaries, insurance, just to break even. After paying the fixed expenses and reaching the break-even point, profits can be made. The formula to calculate the break-even quantity in words is: break-even quantity equals the total fixed costs divided by the selling price minus the variable costs per unit. The formula is presented below in a mathematical format. The following example will clarify how this formula can be used. We have a total fixed cost of $20,000, such as for rent, salaries, insurance. We have a variable cost per unit of $1. This is the amount of money to manufacture a single item. Our selling price for each unit one item is $2. Now the question is how many units of the product we have to manufacture and sell just to break even? This question is answered with the formula, which indicates that we must sell 20,000 units if we want to break even. The same formula can of course also be used by a retailer. If we use the above example, we could assume that a retailer has a fixed expense of $20,000, and he pays $1 wholesale for a product. He sells each of these items for $2, and the calculations are of course the same as above. Keep in mind that the above formula only indicates the point where there is no loss and no gain from the product. If you want to try an interactive version of the above formula that will actually calculate, If you insert your own numbers, click on the following link. To return to this page, after you completed your calculations, click on the left arrow key on the upper, left portion of your screen. If you have Excel in your computer, left click on these words. If you do not have Excel, or want to open a version of the formula that functions directly in your web browser HTML JavaScript, click on these words. A modification of the break-even formula, to calculate a profit greater than zero. The break-even formula, presented above, is used to calculate the quantity of a product that needs to be sold to break even, or to obtain a zero profit. If we modify the break-even formula, we can obtain a formula that calculates the quantity of a product needed to make a profit that is greater than zero. Such a formula is very easily derived. In words, the formula is the number of units needed to make a desired level of profit is equal to the total fixed costs plus the desired profit divided by the selling price minus the variable costs per unit. This is presented in a mathematical format below. I will call this formula the break-even plus profit formula. To demonstrate this formula, I will use the same example as above, except in this case, let us assume I want to make a profit of $10,000. Total fixed cost equals $20,000. Desired profit equals $10,000. Selling price equals $2. Variable cost per unit equals $1. Then the calculation is as follows. This means that we would have to manufacture and sell 30,000 units to make a $10,000 profit. If you want to try an interactive version of the above formula that will actually calculate, if you insert your own numbers, click on the following link. To return to this page, after you completed your calculations, click on the left arrow key on the upper, left portion of your screen. If you have Excel in your computer, left click on these words. If you do not have Excel, or want to open a version of the formula that functions directly in your web browser, HTML JavaScript, click on these words. A more sophisticated perspective on the break-even and break-even plus profit formulas, in terms of rate of sales and rate of expenses. The above concepts and examples with the break-even formula and the break-even plus profit formula are somewhat simplified. That is, when you are dealing with fixed costs, such as rent, salaries, and insurance, there is another factor involved, which is time. That is, rent, salaries, and insurance must be paid at regular time intervals, such as on a monthly basis. Thus, with the above examples presented in the previous two subheadings, let us assume that the fixed cost is $20,000 per month instead of $20,000. If we sold the required quantity of the product in 1 month, the results we calculated would be correct. However, if we needed 2 months to sell the product, our fixed cost would be $40,000, and the results we calculated would be incorrect. Thus, we can create a simple formula to calculate fixed cost in relation to time, which is fixed costs per unit of time multiplied by time to complete the sales of the product. This can be represented as fixed cost equals dollar per unit of time time the parentheses in this formula means multiply. For example, if the fixed cost is $10,000 per month, and it takes us 2 months to obtain and sell the product in sufficient quantity to meet our objectives, such as to break even, then the fixed costs would be $10,000 per month multiplied by 2 months, which is a total fixed cost of $20,000. All of the above is quite important because the number of units sold per month may not cover the monthly fixed costs. Thus, a company could sell a very large number of units over time and take in a considerable amount of money and still fail to break even because the rate of expenses exceeds the rate of money obtained from sales. This problem can sometimes be solved by figuring out ways of increasing the rate of production and/or the rate of sales. Raising the price of the product can also solve the problem. This can be feasible if there is no competition, or if the current price of the product is substantially below the prices of the competition. When this is not the case, the alternatives are to try to reduce production costs, such as with better technology and more efficient management. Often, the best solution to a problem is to apply a little bit of all the options. If this is not feasible either, the best option might be to discontinue the product. Thus, more realistic formulas than the two presented above would be based on the rate of fixed costs and the rate of sales needed to break even. However, essentially the formulas would be the same, except you must enter the rate of the total fixed costs, and you will obtain the required rate of sales to break even. The required rate of sales is equal to the rate of fixed costs, divided by the selling price minus the variable costs per unit. The idea to keep in mind is it is necessary to think in terms of the rate of fixed costs and the rate of required sales. This is demonstrated in the following example. Rate of fixed costs equals $10,000 per month. Variable costs per unit equals $1. Now the question is, what is the required rate of sales to break even? The answer is obtained from the following formula, with the following calculations. This calculation indicates that it would be necessary to sell the product at a rate of 10,000 units per month to break even. The second formula that was shown above, the break-even plus profit formula, can also be modified in terms of rate, as follows. The required rate of sales is equal to the rate of fixed costs plus the desired rate of profit, divided by the selling price minus the variable costs per unit. Note that the formula contains rate of fixed costs, desired rate of profit, and required rate of sales. The following example will present the utility of this concept. Rate of fixed costs equals $10,000 per month. Desired rate of profit equals $10,000 per month. Variable costs per unit equals $1. Selling price equals $2. Required rate of sales. Now, the question we want to answer is, how many units do we have to sell to earn $10,000 per month? The calculations are shown below. Thus, to earn $10,000 per month, we would have to sell 20,000 units per month. This can be restated as, to maintain a rate of profit of $10,000 per month, it is necessary to sell 20,000 units per month, if the variable cost is $1 per unit, and the selling price is $2 per unit. If you want to try an interactive version of the above formulas that will actually calculate, if you insert your own numbers, click on the following links. To return to this page, after you completed your calculations, click on the left arrow key on the upper, left portion of your screen. This is an Excel hyperlink for. If you do not have Excel, or want to open an electronic formula that functions directly in your web browser, HTML, JavaScript, click on these words. This is an Excel hyperlink for. If you do not have Excel, or want to open an electronic formula that functions directly in your web browser, HTML, JavaScript, click on these words. The concept of rate, as it applies to business and marketing. Introduction. Rate is a very important concept that is used in the physical sciences, especially in physics. In science, the concept of rate of change of various factors is very important. Probably one of the best ways to understand the concept of rate is to think of velocity. The velocity of an automobile represents the rate of change in distance from a starting point. There is also the concept of acceleration, which is the rate of change of velocity, or more generally, the rate of change of a rate. That is, acceleration is an increase in a rate. A decrease in rate is negative acceleration, or deceleration. These concepts can be applied to business and marketing in a way that is theoretical as well as extremely practical. Various mathematical formulas that involve rate can sometimes predict the probability of business, marketing, and financial problems. This type of mathematical warning can sometimes prevent problems before they happen. The same concept and formulas can sometimes also predict the probability of successful business and marketing efforts. All of the above will become apparent as you read the following paragraphs. The rate of speed of manufacturing a product. This is essentially the number of units of a product that are manufactured divided by time. See the following formula. This formula can be used to calculate the rate production by measuring the number of units that were produced in a given interval of time. The calculated results with this formula is number of units per time, such as 100 units per hour, or 800 units per day, or 4,000 units per week. Once you have determined the rate of production, you can determine how many units will be produced in a day, week, month, year, etc. This is done with the following formula. The rate of transporting the product to the selling outlets. This is the number of units of the product that are shipped to the selling outlets, divided by time. Calculations of this type can answer the question how long does it take to transport a specific number of units of the product to the selling outlets. For example, calculated results can be 10,000 units per month, or 2,500 units per week. See the following formula. Once you know the rate of transported units, you can calculate how many units will be transported in a day, a week, month or year, etc. This is done with the following formula. The rate of sales. Rate of sales, or how many units of the product are sold in a given length of time, can be an important calculation. This calculation consists of the number of sales, divided by the time it took to complete the sales. See the following formula. Calculations of this type can indicate which salespeople or selling outlets have a higher rate of sales and which ones have low rates of sales. This formula can also be used to calculate the rate of sales of a product. This can involve the entire market for the product, or it can involve specific market segments. Calculations of this type might indicate very low rates of sales for some market segments, and high rates of sales for other segments. This can suggest a more focused marketing plan, or perhaps advertising focused on raising the rate of sales in low market segments. Some market segments involve losses if transportation is expensive, and the rate of sales is low. The algebraic conversion of the formula to the following is also quite useful. This formula can be used to predict the number of units that must be manufactured or purchased in stock. For example, if your company sells computers at the average rate of 10 per week, you may want to store enough for 4 weeks, or 40 computers. This may be especially the case if there are delays in deliveries from manufacturing facilities, or delivery times are uncertain. The rate of profit. The rate of profit is the amount of profit divided by time. See the following formula. For example, if a company earned $100,000 of profit in 1 year, its profit would be $100,000 per year, or $8,333.33 per month, or $273.97 per day. It is important to understand the difference between total profit and rate of profit. For an example, let us assume a small grocery store earned $50,000 in profit. Question: is the store doing well or is it a failing business? The answer to this question can be provided by calculating the rate of profit. Simply put, the question is how long did it take for the grocery store to make $50,000 in profit? If it took 10 years to make the $50,000, the rate of profit would be $5,000 per year. This would suggest a failing business. However, if the $50,000 in profit was earned in 10 months, then the rate of profit would be $5,000 per month. This is not bad for a small grocery store. However, if the $50,000 was earned in 2 months, the rate of profit would be $25,000 per month. The rate of profit can even be calculated on an hourly basis. This may sound unusual at first glance, but it is a common practice. That is when wages are paid on an hourly basis to an employee, such as $25 per hour, it represents the rate of profit for the employee. It is important not to confuse the rate of sales with the rate of profit. A high rate of sales does not necessarily imply a high rate of profit, because there may be little or no profit made on each sales. When each item that is sold provides a good level of profit, a high rate of sales will indicate a high rate of profit. The rate of loss. The rate of loss is the amount of money lost divided by time, as expressed in this formula. Sometimes a product or a business loses money for a period of time, or continuously until it leads to bankruptcy. In situations of this type, calculating the rate of loss can be helpful in determining its significance and the time that is available to solve the problem. For an example, let us assume there is a business that has $100,000 in the bank, and it is losing $10,000 per month on the average. This would suggest that the business owner might have 10 months to solve the problem, More time if the problem is partly alleviated and less time if it gets worse. There are situations where the goal of the organization does not involve a profit. For example, social service organizations of the government may give away money to needy families. With these agencies, a high rate of loss, as calculated with the above formula, might imply success if the money was properly distributed to qualified families and individuals. Rate of profit in terms of percentage of investment or the rate of return on investment. The best way to measure rate of profit in many situations is in terms of the percentage of investment, as presented in the following formula. This is essentially the rate of return on an investment. This is similar to the interest received on an investment, such as money in a savings account, and interest paid on a loan, but it is MOT compounded periodically. That is, in a bank account you earn money on the interest or profit, and to calculate the return it is necessary to use the compound interest formula. To prevent confusion with the compound interest formula, I am calling this concept for this discussion, percent rate of profit on investment. To use the above formula and calculate the percent rate of profit on investment, it is first necessary to calculate the rate of profit with the following formula. That is, this calculation can be done in two steps. First, the profit is divided by time, such as in days, weeks, or months, to obtain the rate of profit. After this, the rate of profit is divided by the investment, and then multiplied by 100% to produce a percentage. For example, if a product produced $1,000 of profit in 1 year, and it involved a $20,000 investment, the profit would be 20% of the investment per year. In terms of months, this would be a rate of return 1.667% per month. With this example, the profit of $20,000 is very good. However, if the investment was $10 million, with a $20,000 profit in 1 year, the profit would be only 0.2% of the investment per year. This is not an adequate rate of return on a $10 million investment. Putting the $10 million in the bank would yield a much greater rate of return. The above formula can also be applied to products. This would indicate which products are truly the most profitable. The above formula can be modified so it calculates the percentage rate of profit on investment in a single operation. This simply involves some algebraic substitution with the rate of profit formula, as presented below. Substituted for rate of profit, which results in the following. The above, of course, simplifies to the following formula. Calculating profit and rates of profit for a new business, even the smallest businesses, usually cost over $100,000 to set up. For this reason, a new business may not earn any true profit for many years. The question here is, how do you assess if such a business is successful or not? The answer is, calculate the profit and rate of profit without calculating the investment in the business. When this is done, all the operating expenses, including debt repayment, costs of new products, employee salaries, electric bills, and every other expense is calculated on a monthly basis. This amount of money, the total operating expenses, is subtracted from the total amount of money that the business grossed in a month. This concept is represented in the following formula. Profit for a month, without considering total investment in the business, is equal to the gross receipts for a month, minus the total operating expenses for a month. This can be represented in mathematical notation as follows. Any convenient time interval can be used with this formula, such as a week, a year, and even a day. I used a month because bills are often paid monthly. The profit calculated with this formula can be used with the other formulas discussed above, such as to calculate the rate of profit. Total profit and the rate of profit can be negative from a mathematical perspective, when the operating expenses for the business, including debt repayments, is greater than the money that was taken in. In general, if the numbers are negative or very low, it indicates a failing business. However, it sometimes takes quite a while for a new business to build up an adequate customer base, and before this is achieved, the rate of profit might be negative or very low. A negative rate of profit is the same as the rate of loss. If the rate of profit is increasing each month, or the rate of losses is getting significantly lower each month, as a result of obtaining new customers, the business might be headed for success. However, if the rate of profit is remaining the same, or declining the business is probably headed for failure.